Today I'm preaching on the joy of Jesus, the joy of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. I pray for a supernatural infusion of joy today in your people. Let the joy of the Lord come upon us afresh. Lord, let it be our portion that we walk in every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, the joy of the Lord is not an emotion, it's not a mood. Even when we're going through seasons of grief, as some are now here, we can still have the joy of the Lord. It's with us every day, no matter what season in life we're walking through. He is amazing and he never leaves us. This world is hungry and thirsty for joy. At Christmas is meant to be a time of great joy. Sometimes Christmas can get a little joyless because it gets busy and it gets stressy, because in New Zealand it's also the end of the year. And some people even have the nerve to be born around Christmas time, just trying to be like Jesus or something. And so there's not only Christmas presents to buy, there's birthday presents as well. And when do you squeeze in the Christmas shopping? Between 10 and 12 at Kmart, that's when, PM. But, you know, sometimes if you do it then, you get so tired that you're a grumpy shopper and you think, well, I'm just getting them that feather duster and they better like it. Who is one of those grumpy shoppers who does their shopping on Christmas Eve? Oh, yes, we have a few over here, okay. And then as soon as Christmas is over, you're packing up and you're going away on holiday the next day. So if we're not careful, it can become a stressy time instead of a joyful time. But this Christmas, don't let the devil rob you of the joy of the Lord. Decide now. I'm not going to let stress, one of the joy stealers Satan uses, I'm not going to let stress rob me of the joy of the Lord. And here are some ideas and suggestions you can do to celebrate the joy in the joy of the Lord at Christmas. You can play carols and worship in your car. Who liked the Come All You Faithful this morning? Oh, I love that. Well, play the carols while you're rushing to and from work meetings and that appointment and the kids' assembly or show, because carols will cause you to sing praises to God and thank Him for sending Jesus. Proper carols about Jesus, not just about snow, because that's not relevant anyway for us right now. Create some time and space in the next 3 weeks to celebrate what God's done for us by reading the Christmas story in Matthew 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Watch the Christmas movie, Nativity. It's probably on Netflix. Write down and journal all the blessings in your life that you are thankful for and grateful for. Take time to visit someone else who is maybe old or lonely or old and lonely. Come to the Christmas special in 2 weeks' time on Sunday morning on the 18th and bring some unchurched family, friends, workmates. And if you're in town, come to the one-hour Christmas Eve special, 6 p.m. carol service. It's just got a 10-minute sermon in it, that's all. And bring unchurched family and friends. And then you can sing more carols and it'll be very therapeutic for you and calming. Won't that be nice? The first Advent, which means the coming of Christ, was Jesus coming from heaven down to earth as a baby about 2,000 years ago. And it brought great joy. And I'm going to read you two verses from the Christmas story. You can go home and read the whole thing. From Luke 2, it goes to the first 18 verses, but I'll just read you these two. The angel said to them, that's the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So the first Christmas, the first advent of Christ, brought great joy because God sent us salvation. And this Greek word here for joy, chara or chera, I'm not sure how you say it, it means joy and delight. And this word is used 5 times in the Christmas story alone in Luke and in Matthew. Throughout Luke's gospel, this word is used and it's also associated with salvation. And this salvation is for everybody. And this news is not a secret to be kept. It is to be proclaimed to all people everywhere. And it is good news, and it will bring great joy. And we are the proclaimers, not just the shepherds. We are the proclaimers today of this good news of the joy of the Lord through Jesus Christ. He's our salvation. And we proclaim it with our words and our actions and our whole lives and with our body language. So today, is your face proclaiming the arrival of Christ on earth? Is your face proclaiming joy? Look at the person next to you right now. Is their face proclaiming joy? We're not sure, some of us. Here's a quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes. He lived about 100 years ago as a US Supreme Court justice. He said, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." So what is on our face is important. Now, we're going to differentiate here between joy and happiness because they're actually two different things. Happiness is circumstantial. Happiness is dependent on happenings. When good things happen, then we're happy. And I can tell you now, you'll be really happy if it's payday, if you're on holiday, and if your spouse and kids and parents are being nice to you, and if your friends are hanging out with you, and if you're not sick, and if it's summer, and if it's not raining, and if. There's a lot of conditions involved for happiness. Happiness comes and goes, but true joy is found in knowing Jesus. And as Christians, we can have this joy every day of our lives. Because Jesus came to save us, we can have consistent, eternal joy. We can choose to rejoice in the Lord. Whether the interest rates and the petrol prices are high or low, whether all the baubles on your tree are matching or not, we can have the joy of the Lord. All through the Bible, God Himself is the source and the object of the believer's joy. And of course, we do receive joy from people and from good circumstances, but it can be fleeting. But we can find joy in Jesus always, no matter what's going on around us, because He never changes. And He is always there, and He's always in a good mood, and He always loves us. Many people in this world have to go and do a bit of retail therapy, or go across the road and play the pokies, do a bit of gambling, or get drunk, or pop a pill, or fall in love yet again, just to get a little bit of joy in their lives. But we already have it in Jesus. And every day you can know and walk and live in the joy of His salvation, because He has washed our sins away. And now we can skip around the room as happy as a four-year-old at a birthday party, because we have been born again. It feels good to have your sins washed away. The weight of our sins has been thrown off us. We used to stumble around, bowed low beneath this burden, struggling under the weight of our sins. But now they're gone, and you feel younger, faster, lighter. Jesus wants us to have and experience and carry full joy, complete joy, not just at Christmas or when it's summer, or in the holidays, or on your birthday, all the time, every day. And we can have this joy because Jesus has taken care of our eternity. It is a great thing to know that this life is not all there is, but we have eternity, we have heaven to look forward to. It is a major cause for joy to know your sins are forgiven and you are going to heaven. Don't let anyone or anything take the joy of the Lord away from you. And always remember, even on your worst day, it's okay, I'm going to heaven forever, where there's no pain and no darkness and no crying and no nighttime and no death. And it makes death lose its fear. And this joy is yours. It's God's gift to you. It's your portion. No matter what is happening in your circumstances, it's got nothing to do with our circumstances. What's happening down here on earth. It's got everything to do with what has already happened in heaven, what Jesus has done for us. And this is how Christians in the past have laid down their lives as martyrs for Jesus without fear. They've even faced the lions. Some of them even ran towards the lions in the Colosseum because they were full of joy. This is the same joy that is available to us today. And we're going to lay hands on some people in a moment. And I believe God wants to release a fresh spirit of joy in His people today, both individually and corporately. And do you know what? Joy is something that draws lost people to God. They're hungry for it. They want what we've got. This is why Paul and Silas could sing in prison in Acts 16, even though they'd been beaten up and they were bleeding. They were praying and they were praising and they were singing worship songs to Jesus. They were still going at midnight. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. And all the other prisoners were quiet, thinking, oh my goodness, What are they doing? These boys are crazy. They're bleeding. They're bruised and beaten. They may even have some broken ribs. And they're singing. But they weren't losing their minds. They were truly full of joy. We're going to look at some joy scriptures. Are you ready? Write this down. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This is a command. We are instructed by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to rejoice. We've got to stir it up. We're going to stir up this joy. Many people think, well, I can't rejoice, you know. I don't feel like rejoicing. And I've got to be true to my feelings. No, you don't. Our feelings lie to us. We can get the joy of the Lord. We can choose to rejoice. We can choose to thank Him and praise Him. It's really important we do this. Well, I can't rejoice in the Lord. There's a cost of living crisis. Do you know how much the interest rates are and how much petrol prices are? Yes, they have gone up. But there are people in this room who remember 20% interest rates in the 80s. Show of hands, anyone? Look, they're still alive. They're still here. They didn't starve. They didn't die. Hallelujah, God took care of them. There are people right now, many of your family and friends in the UK and in Europe, whose electricity prices have doubled, their gas prices, and just to heat their homes. But the Lord will take care of them too, His followers. You know, Paul wrote this instruction, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say it, rejoice. When did he write that? About AD, which is now called Common Era, but I like to say AD, Anno Domini, year of our Lord. Let's keep Jesus in the middle of it. By the way, write Christmas properly. Don't put an X. Christmas. Hallelujah. You can even say Merry Christmas if you want to get carried away, but that could be weird. Paul wrote this instruction to the church in the Philippians, in Philippi, during the reign of Nero, the cruelest Roman emperor there ever was, who burned many Christians alive. He called them Roman candles and dipped them in tar and set them alight as entertainment in his garden parties. Yet the Lord is telling those people to rejoice in the Lord. Nero was a worse ruler, worse than our government now. Nero was not saying be kind at all. So I think if the early church were told and could rejoice in the Lord, how much more can we? How much more can you and I today? Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. When does it say to rejoice in the Lord? Rejoice in the Lord when everything is perfect. Rejoice in the Lord when you're problem-free. We're not going to be problem-free until we get to heaven. It says rejoice in the Lord always. We've got to learn to rejoice in Him. We've got to get up in the morning. And what happens is our minds suddenly try and work out problems. Our minds go to the negative. Our minds go to, there's this issue. And we start thinking about problematic things. So we've got to learn to get out of our bed in the morning before our feet hit the floor to start rejoicing. Praise the Lord, it's a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I can do all of this through Him who gives me strength. Because greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me. He will also quicken my mortal body. We've got to start encouraging yourselves in the Lord. We're going to start putting Him back on the throne where He is of our lives. We've got to start getting excited about Him. Here's another one, Nehemiah 8, verse 10b. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you want to be stronger? Then get full of the joy of the Lord. This joy does not come from winning lotto. It comes from the Lord. That's why it's called the joy of the Lord. And it makes us strong. And it keeps us going like fuel. And today the Lord wants to fill you right up. And keep filling you every day as you wait on Him in His presence. And to fill you right up to the brim so you overflow. And so other people get the joy of the Lord. So you can keep on going. So you're fueled. So you're like a zoomy sports car zooming all around the place all the time. And you never run out of gas. I often say to myself throughout the day, the joy of the Lord is my strength. His joy makes us a fantastic walking advertisement for Jesus. It is vital we have the joy of the Lord in our lives if we are to accurately represent our Lord, if we are to show Jesus to people. Tell the person next to you, you look like you could do with a little bit more joy in your life. You know, people are watching us, non-Christians in your work. in your class, at school, at uni. They're watching you and I to see if this Jesus thing is working for us. The joy of the Lord can be seen in our lives. The joy of the Lord shows people, it's evidence, there is a God. Other people notice it because you're always smiling. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Say it with me right now. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. I want to encourage and challenge you to say that every day over yourself. Because Jesus wants us not only to be happy, but to be full of joy. It's supernatural. And people will see, man, they're going through this, they're going through that. But look, they're still overflowing with this joy. It's not coming from the outside, it's coming from the inside. There's something going on in their hearts. What is it? And they will want it too. It is important to have joy so you can stay spiritually strong. I want to ask you today, how strong are you spiritually? How high are your joy levels today? How high is your joyometer reading? Dr. Lois Bouquet, who went to be with the Lord recently, she said, always pick leaders based on their joy levels. Always pick leaders based on their joy levels. So if we pick people for leadership based on their joy levels, would we pick you? Should we pick you? That's a good question. How much joy do you carry? How joyful do you get in your time alone with the Lord? And how joyful do you get in your times that we're corporately together singing in church? Oh, I'm not going to sing too loud. I don't want anyone to hear me. Why not? I'm not going to dance. Someone might look. It's for the Lord. Get a bit of freedom happening. How often do you just sing to the Lord randomly? In the car or in the shower or while you're working, not just in church. I remember a guy in our last church and he used to whistle. He had a loud whistle. He'd whistle to the Lord. In the free singing in the spirit time, he'd go crazy with his whistle. It was like a lead break. It was amazing. How often do you just shout to God? Just suddenly yell in tongues. Hallelujah. That frightens some of you. Hallelujah. Why don't you shout hallelujah right now? Hallelujah. Oh, didn't that feel good? Need to do that more often. All through the Psalms, it talks about shouting and singing for joy because we know Jesus, because we know the Lord. These are not on the screen, but Psalm 132 verse 9b says, may your people shout for joy. Psalm 100 verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 95 verse 1, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. So we, the people of God, are meant to be a joyful people because we have the source of all joy living inside of us. And when you have joy, it shows. You get excited. You shout and you spontaneously burst into song and people can't keep you down. And you jump and clap and worship God and you're excited like a kid who's just been told you're going to McDonald's for dinner. That's why Pentecostal churches do the clapping, shouting, loud singing and dancing thing because they have the continuous joy of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, joy. The thing with joy is we need to keep stirring it up and keep shouting it out and keep singing it out. But some believers are like, well, I have joy. It's deep joy. I have joy. It's so deep. I have joy that you know not of. Really? Well, will you let your face know? Psalm 16 verse 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Not a wee taste of joy, fullness of joy. It's in his presence, so we've got to get into his presence daily. I like to walk around my lounge and pray in tongues, until I feel his presence come on me. That's joy right there in his presence. Psalm 4 verse 7, you have given me more joy than when their grain and new wine abound. That means you have given me more joy than all of those people with all their money and all their toys. It's from the Lord. You can't buy it. It's miraculous. You know, before I knew Jesus, I had to be partying with my friends. I had to have people around me. I had to have quite a bit of alcohol or other things, to just get a bit of joy. It was very circumstantial. But then I met Jesus, and I discovered joy in him that I can have every day, whether people are around me or not. and I haven't had a drink for 34 years. I don't need it because I have Jesus. I don't need that stuff to get happy. I have him. You know, Satan tries to distract us from following Jesus, and he tries to get us to find joy in other things. He tempts us to put other things first, ourselves, our careers, our businesses, money, hobbies, sports, shopping, lifestyle. That's a biggie here in the Bay. Now, these things are not bad things. Often they're good things, but they can become an idol if we put them before the Lord in our hearts, if we look to them for joy instead of to the Lord. It's only when we have our priorities right and we're pursuing God first will we have his full joy. If we just dabble with the Lord and treat him like a hobby amongst other things, after money and lifestyle and hobbies, then our joy will be diluted. But if we say the Lord is first, we've got to live it with our lives. Many believers say, yes, God is first in my life. But then we vote with our feet to only come to his house once or twice a month on average. And every day we reach for our phone before we reach, or our device, before we reach for the word. And we reach for the remote control. And we don't reach for the word of God. And we wonder, then we wonder what happened to our joy. You know, when the people of God worshiped together, it was recorded in the Old Testament, Nehemiah, and in the New Testament, in Acts, it says how they had great joy. It's really important that you're a part of that family of God every week, connect group, church, to get your joy on. It's vital we put God first in our day, in the word and in prayer. If you find reading hard, listen to the word every day. And first in our week at church and connect group. And first in our finances with tithing and giving. And first in our lives by seeking him first. You know, so often we allow our joy to be severely restricted just because we have a problem. And if we focus on our problems and indulge our self-pity, then what will happen is we will see ourselves as victims. And a victim mentality can never experience joy, because we're swimming in self-pity, wallowing in misery. When we discover true joy in Jesus, we recognize we are not victims. What we are sinners who have been saved. And that Savior is all we need. And his name is Jesus. He was sent to us by God. We have joy because the God-man, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to earth to save us. And that is the first advent of Christ, the first coming of Christ, which gives us great joy. But remember, there's a second advent. That has not yet happened. The first advent brought great joy and salvation to all those who received Jesus. The second advent will also bring us great joy. You know, we like little baby Jesus in the manger at Christmas. We can cope because he's cute and small. But are we ready for big, strong, resurrected Jesus who is coming back soon? The coming again of Jesus in the end of the age occupies some 1,845 scriptural verses. Billy Graham was quoted as saying, "Many times when I go to bed at night, I think to myself that before I wake again, Christ may come." We've got to be ready, because Jesus is coming back again in the clouds one day. It might not be today because it's quite sunny. We know it'll be a cloudy day. If you lived on the west coast of the South Island, you might be thinking it's any day now. When he comes back again, it's not going to be as a cute little nice baby. It's going to be as the resurrected king over all kings. And this is the ultimate thing to look forward to. Here's a scripture about it, Matthew 26, verse 64. In the future, you will see the Son of Man, that's Jesus, seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. The Bible talks about an amazing event that's coupled with the second coming of Christ. I think it'll happen before, but we can have a fight about that later. Doesn't really matter. It's called the rapture. This phrase, the rapture, is not actually in the Bible. It's a name given by Christians to describe Jesus descending from heaven to come and get all his followers, living and dead. We are all going to rise to meet him in the clouds. That will be exciting. He's going to take us home to heaven. Rapture means intense joy, bliss, elation, delight, pleasure. In the Greek, it's hapazo, which means to snatch away or to be caught up. It's going to get a bit Star Trek around here on that day. It's going to be, beam me up, Lord! The rapture precedes the second coming of Christ. Some believe it's at the same time. Either way, it's going to happen. And then after that, we're going to rule and reign. Come back and rule and reign here with him in the millennial reign. Now, there are two main scriptures about the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read two or three verses here. I'm telling you this strange and wonderful secret from verse 51. We shall not all die, but we shall all be given new bodies. Hallelujah. It will all happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When the last trumpet is blown, there will be a trumpet blast from the sky, and all the Christians who have died will suddenly become alive with new bodies that will never, ever die. And then we who are still alive shall suddenly have new bodies too. For our earthly bodies, the ones we have now that can die, must be transformed into heavenly bodies that cannot perish but will live forever. Oh, who's excited about this? Some of you are just excited about getting a new body. You're already putting in your order. I'll have one with a fast metabolism, please. Here's the other scripture about the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, 17. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a mighty shout and with the soul-stirring cry of the archangel and the great trumpet call of God. And the Christians who are dead will be the first to rise to meet the Lord. Then we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and remain with him forever. Who's always wanted to fly? I reckon this is why God put that desire in our hearts as little kids to fly, because we're going to fly one day. We might die first, we might get raptured. We don't know which will happen, but we've got to be ready to meet the Lord whichever way it's going to work out. And this is going to be the most joy that anyone has ever experienced, ever, right here in the rapture, if the band could come please. You know, Jesus brought joy to the world to all who welcomed his first coming and acknowledged him as the Lord. His second coming is also going to bring great joy to all who know him and who are serving him. And we've got to be ready because the rapture is going to be amazing. Are you prepared for that day? Whatever happens, don't miss it. If you rock up here one Sunday and the doors are locked and no one's here, and you're just sitting outside all by yourself on the curb singing, you've been left behind. I've been left behind. Oh, we can think, oh, it's okay, Alan. I won't miss Jesus. It's all good. I've been going to church my whole life. I'm a third generation Christian. Well, there were many religious people who missed Jesus the first time he came. I'm sure there will be many religious people who will miss him the second time also. Those religious people who missed Jesus' birth, they were Pharisees. Some of them were even priests. They worked at the temple. These guys were like pastors on staff at church. They went to church weekly. They tithed on everything. They knew their Bibles backwards. These guys were intelligent, highly learned, studious, spiritual dudes, but they missed Jesus. They wouldn't even walk 7 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to go and see him. It's just down the road, but they wouldn't go. The first time Jesus came was to bring salvation, but the second time he comes, it's game over. It's time's up, and we're out of here. There won't be time then to get right with God. Now, today is the time to get right with God. Now, today is the time to get ready, to live ready, to meet him. I want to finish with this question. If Jesus came back right now, today, before Christmas, would I be ready? Or would he find me distant, doing my own thing, cold-hearted toward him, preoccupied with this world? Let's not miss his coming like the religious guys did. He is coming again soon when we least expect it. In Galatians 5:22 talks about joy being a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a sign of the truly spirit-filled life. I want to pray for people, and you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, and you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you will get filled with the joy of the Lord, and his joy is overflowing. You can't explain it. We can't even understand it. We just receive it. Let's stand this morning. There are people here, and you've been struggling and you know you need a fresh infusion of the joy of the Lord, and we're going to pray and lay hands on some people because we need to be filled to overflowing for ourselves, but also to be a witness for Him with the joy of the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Father, I pray for the joy of the Lord to come afresh on every person in this place. Lord, I pray that strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength, that strength would come with your joy. Father, we pray and prophesy an overflowing of the Holy Spirit on each person, on us individually, on us corporately, that we will be a great advertisement for you, that we will be truly joyous people in the name of Jesus.